you know, as I was singing this song, I like that song, Take Courage, He's in the Waiting. But we always, as Christians, have to throw in that part about victory, right? We always have to throw in that part that's like, we're going to win, it's going to be good. And that is true. But there's something I think that we all struggle with just a little bit, especially in our westernized, Americanized Christianity. And it's just simply this. We think that's how it always has to be. And so what we find ourselves doing is we think when bad things happen, when things go wrong, we think, you know what? Our job as Christians is to take all that away. All the bad, all the hurt, all the pain, everything. Just don't deal with that. And so what we find is we want to help, be helpful. We want to make people feel better. We want to make ourselves feel better. So we do whatever we can to pacify and anesthetize ourselves and others to difficult and painful emotions. And the reason we do this, though, is that on some level, we have bought into the line of thinking that says, you know what, Christianity is supposed to have all the answers. That if you can't explain it away, there's something wrong with you. But so often in life, that's not how it is. We want to explain how everything happens, and anything less than complete victory or transformation is unacceptable. After all, we're supposed to be overcomers, right? And we also think about unresolved pain, and we think, well, that can't exist. So we search for expressions, we search for easy answers when pain comes our way. I mean, after all, how many times maybe have you seen somebody go through something challenging or difficult? And our first response is to kind of pat them on the back in a non-socially distanced world and say, it'll be okay. Or we start quoting scripture, oh, God will work all things to the good to those who love him. But we typically in our minds, we're thinking, if we're honest, can we move on now? I mean, you shed a couple of tears. Let's go. Let's move on. Let's don't dwell there. So we're always encouraging people to move forward, move on. But is this the way it's supposed to be? Is this the way it was designed to be? And even though many of us may have not seen it modeled for us often, what we're talking about today is the very biblical practice known as lament. Lament. And I do believe that it has been lost in our Western Americanized Christianity. But we're in the midst of this series where we're talking about what the world needs now. And what if what the world needs now isn't for a bunch of us to stand up and put our arms back and say, it'll be okay. But what if what the world needs now is people who are following Jesus, who are willing to sit and cry and have the sorrow and lament with the things that are happening around us? Now, I realize, I've told you before, as a pastor, I have a special ability. I can read most of your minds. Some of you should be ashamed. Just kidding. There are some of you that are in the room and are watching online, and right now in the moment, you're like Pastor Amy. You are in touch with your emotional side, and you are thinking, lament, finally, pass me the box of Kleenex. Let's get our cry on. Some of you are like me, maybe. Pastor Ryan as well, I think, would fall in this category. You're thinking, well, praise God we're socially distanced, because otherwise this Yahoo would have us sitting in a circle holding hands singing Kumbaya. No, that's not what we're talking about here. As I was studying this week, there was a great article by the Village Church in Texas that the guy writing it talks about the lost art of lament. And it really opened my eyes, because you guys know me. This isn't somewhere I sit and linger for long periods of time. I needed a little help to discover what is this, to help reveal to me what I would say was a bit of a mystery. What is lament? Lament is very easy, very simply. It's an expression of deep pain or sorrow. It's an expression of deep pain or sorrow. That's what it is. And here's what's so interesting about lament is, because sometimes when people think about sorrow and pain, we think that if we were to express that, that that's somehow a slap in the face to God, that God is not honored by that, that God is actually upset by that and doesn't want us to do that. And so we get in our minds to where we believe that if I show any sorrow, pain, or lament, that it's the opposite of faith. It's the opposite of faith. And so it's a shot to my faith. It means I don't have faith. But what I would say to you is that what if that's not true? You know, a lot of things in the Christian faith are paradoxical. God says, I will use the weak instead of the strong, the humble instead of the powerful. All these things that we find in our faith that are paradoxical, what if lament falls into that category? And instead of lament being a shot or a demise of our faith, what if it became or was actually an expression of our faith? A willingness for us to honestly and vulnerably come before God, to engage God. You see, N.T. Wright, great theologian of our day, he says this. He says, lament happens when people ask the question, why? And don't get an answer. Now think about that. In our Christian faith, we're not very comfortable with that. There's supposed to be an answer for everything. We're supposed to be able to turn in the Bible, find that passage, it makes everything go away. But I believe what N.T. Wright says is true, because just think about your own life and your own experience. How many times have you asked the question, why, only to not be able to find an answer? You see, lament occurs when you have that feeling of helplessness, you have incredible pain, or you just sit in the realization that we are a part of a fallen and broken world. Now, why would I say that lament is an expression of our faith? Because to love and to care is to risk a broken heart. Let's think that again. Think about that. To love and to care is to risk a broken heart. I mean, after all, if you don't love anything, if you are cynical or calloused, you cannot and you will not lament. Why would you? You don't care enough. And when cynicism can pull us away from God, you know what lament does? Lament pushes us towards God. And this is the paradox. This isn't the paradox of faith when we think what would pull us away from God actually draws us towards Him. Isn't that wild? Now, there is one word of caution, though, because we often can think about lament and we might try to turn it into complaining. And the Bible does warn against being complainers. We don't want to fall into that category, complaining, grumbling, or murmuring. Do you know the difference, though? Complaining doesn't seek answers. It seeks to place blame. Lament cries out, acknowledges reality, and acknowledges the character of God. And as one author I read this week put it, it says, complaining is an accusation against God that maligns His character, but lament is an appeal to God based on confidence in His character. And isn't that a great expression? That's the difference. And then we turn to the Bible and you find out that in our lament, we are not alone. The Bible is full of prayers of people lamenting, crying out to God in sorrow and pain, not understanding to them why what is happening is happening. I mean, it could be the story of Job, where Job, great guy, follows God, living a great life. All these horrible things happen to him, and he's sitting there, and he doesn't know why, and his friends aren't helping because they're saying it's your fault. You must have done something to God, and Job's like, I really don't think I have. And do you know what he found out in the end when he asked the question, why? There was no answer. There was no nice, tidy bow put on Job's story to say, well, this is why it all happened. Job never knew. We could look at the Psalms, where over one-third of the Psalms, 150 Psalms, over a third of them are classified as Psalms of lament. And you can talk about the entire book of Lamentations, which is lament, or the prophets Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, Habakkuk, King David, or even Jesus Himself, where they show us that lament is a part of a faith experience. In John's Gospel, we find Jesus standing at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Jesus knew in this moment he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But in that moment, in hearing and seeing and feeling the pain of his friends Mary and Martha, we find that verse in the Bible, John 11:35, the shortest verse that says what? Jesus wept. He cried. And there's an interesting Greek word there. It wasn't that he was wailing or moaning in that moment, but it just is like a tear was coming down his cheek. He cried because he heard their pain and he took their pain and it affected him. And then you go to Luke 19, where Jesus is towards the end of his ministry and he's looking out over the city of Jerusalem, and we're told again that Jesus wept. And this one was a wailing, a loud cry that Jesus is. Now think about that. Of all the images you have of Jesus, do you have that image of Jesus where he's at the end of his ministry? He's done everything he can to bring life to people. And as he looks out over this city, he's not just wiping tears away. He is moaning. He is groaning. He is wailing tears of grief over the city because he's just frustrated because he wants them to know the life that he's come to bring. Or as Jesus quoted on the cross, Psalm 22, when he cries out himself and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you read the rest of Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, it says, why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, but I find no rest. So today, what we're going to do is we're calling everybody in the room and those who are watching online to a moment of lament. It's a very biblical practice. We're going to do it individually and we're going to do it corporately. But we're going to give expression to our emotion that is more than just, it's an expression of our emotions, but it's more than just that. It's a cry out to God. It's a prayer, a call for God to come into our situation, come into our world, and to do something, to act. And this isn't an action only for ourselves, but sometimes you may think about your own life right now, and you may think, life's okay. I really don't have anything to lament. Well, maybe we need to be lamenting in solidarity with those around us who are suffering, and we allow their pain to become our pain. One quote I read this week, it says, when we lose our ability to lament, we lose the opportunity to share with our God the thing of this world that are breaking our hearts, and we risk becoming cynical people. We don't need to worry when we lament. It's when we don't worry, when we don't lament, that we need to start worrying. Because people who have no hope, they don't lament. People who don't know God, they don't lament. Those with hope, even in their pain, turn to the one who may not always provide answers, but will always provide comfort. I read a story this week about a man. He went to an orphanage in Russia, and as he walked through the nursery, he said there was just an eerie silence in the room. None of the babies were crying. Not because they never needed anything, but because no one ever cared enough to answer. Children who are confident in the love of a caregiver cry. And our lament is proof of our relationship with God, the one who cares for us. So this morning, instead of trying to gloss it over and find easy answers, we're going to acknowledge that there's been pain, there's been heartache in our own lives, in our world. And we're going to take time to acknowledge that, the difficulty, the darkness maybe you have experienced. So right now I ask the question, what are you lamenting? If you're in the room, there are green pieces of paper and pens around you. If you need one, grab it. And online, if you're willing, we would encourage you to use the chat window, or I'm going to give you a phone number you can text it into, because we're wanting to use these a little later in the service. But we want you to write down what you don't understand. What's nagging, the questions you have that you wished were answered, the things that you feel like you've missed out on or lost because of what's happening in the world today. I'm going to post that number in the chat window in just a second, but what are you lamenting this morning? I'm going to give you a few prompts to kind of help you. They're going to be on the screen. Maybe you start it with just saying, God, I long for you too. Fill in the blank. I feel forgotten because blank. My heart has broken because blank. Or maybe like Jesus quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken? Fill in the blank. The worship team is going to come and they're going to sing a song for us. We're not asking you to sing with them. We're asking you to just think about what have you lost? What's the pain or the heartache that you're dealing with this morning? If you're in the room, I'm going to encourage you, come and drop them on one of the tables up front when you're done. Online, chat those in, or I'm going to post a number that you can text it into if you don't want your name tied to it, if you'd like to keep it a little quiet. But just think right now, what are you lamenting? And let's take that to the one who can do something for us.
As we come to the altar and we lament our brokenness, the pain, you may be seated. the brokenness, the pain, the loss that we've experienced personally, as a community, and nationally, we must also recognize our own hands are not without sin, as this pandemic has truly exposed and laid bare our own sinful hearts. So will you join with me now as we confess our sin to Jesus? Bow your heads with me. God, today we come to you and we ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you would forgive us of our selfishness and our selfish indulgences as we recognize we have made ourselves the center of so much. We build our lives for our comfort and for our stomachs. We have taken what you've created and we have turned that into our God rather than worshiping our Creator. God, we ask that you would forgive us of our pettiness. When the small things we let bother us, we let molehills become mountains while others are struggling on such a grander scale than us. God, we ask that you would forgive us of the apathy in our own hearts as it wears us down seeing the struggle and then we just give up and we stop caring. And we stop worrying about the pain of others and we just ignore it and turn our face away because it's too much. Forgive us. Forgive us, God, of the impatience that we have right now towards others in our circle and our own family. Those we love most, God, but due to the stress of the situation, we have lost sometimes the ability to be kind, to be caring, to be loving, and to be patient. Forgive us, God, and fill us with patience. Forgive us, Father, of the arrogance that we have as we demonize our opponents in these debates that go on between family members and across social media. Allow us to see those people as our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, of our addiction to activity and achievement, as this slowed down world has shown some of us our inability to slow our hearts. And it's shown us our failure to be still and to know that you are God. Purify us of that. And finally, God, I ask that you would forgive us of our lack of trust and dependence on you in the midst of this upside down world. God, may we stop looking to everything around us to keep us afloat, but may we put our eyes on you and our dependence on you. Father, we ask today that you would cleanse us, that you would purify our hearts, and that you would use this moment to refine us through this fire so that we may more perfectly reflect your glory to the end goodness to this world. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
So we've had space and time to think about in our own lives, what are we grieving? What are we lamenting in this season? What do we long for? And now we're going to do this corporately. We're going to lament the things that we've been experiencing in our world that we've all been wrestling with in some way or feeling the effects of in some way. And so I'm going to read, I'm going to pray, I'm going to lament corporately for us. And then when I say, and all the people said, all together will say, Lord, have mercy. God, from the depths of our pain and confusion, we cry out. From our fear-filled hearts and our anxious minds, our tired bodies and our weary souls, we pray today. We grieve the way this global pandemic has so deeply impacted our lives, from the small desires that have been denied and longings unmet, to the massive grief of loss and death due to COVID-19. It all matters to you, God, and you join us in our grief. And all the people said, Lord, have mercy. for those who are sick and fighting COVID-19, for those who've lost their battle to the virus, and for those families who are suffering the loss or the threat of loss of their loved ones. For those who are on the front lines risking their lives for the sake of others each day, and for those who are particularly vulnerable, those who are in care centers and retirement homes, those who work in factories and meatpacking plants, our friends on the Crow Creek Reservation, and all the people said, "Lord, have mercy." For the ways COVID has created isolation and caused a lack of joyful reunions and family gatherings and vacations, how it's ended school days with friends and ceased in-person worship gatherings, we grieve. God, you've created us for community. We find your love and your grace in the presence of each other. And so we feel this loss. For the inability to celebrate graduations and weddings and birthdays, for the inability to grieve together at funerals and hold each other in painful times, we lament. And all the people said, "Lord, have mercy." For the loss of jobs and loss of necessary income, for the economic devastation in families, for small businesses and large, we grieve. We know, God, that you desire for people's needs to be met and for communities to thrive. And all the people said, "Lord, have mercy." God, for the ways we've experienced compounded pain on top of this pandemic, we grieve. The revealing of racism, of pain and trauma around race in our nation, we lament. For sinful actions and oppressive systems that have wounded our brothers and sisters of color for hundreds of years, we lament. For families who've watched their brother, their son, sister, daughter killed, for Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, and countless others, for disproportionate number of black men who were killed unjustly, we weep. God, as we become more aware of the intensity of the racial divide in our nation, our hearts are broken, and we join our hearts with yours to grieve the lack of kingdom justice on earth. And all the people said, "Lord, have mercy." In chaos and despair, we are desperate for you, God. We know that this is not the way things were intended to be. And thank you for the promise that you are making things right. Our hope is in you, that God who hears the cries of your people, who holds our hurts, and who weeps with us. And together, will you pray the Lord's Prayer with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And now I bring to you the laments that you have shared with us. As we have our own personal laments, our struggles that each of us is dealing with. God, we lament infertility and miscarriages. We lament lost loved ones in COVID, the nursing home lockdowns, the children who are in homes that aren't safe. We lament those who don't know Jesus. We lament the loss of peace in this world, the loss of health, the disunity in the church and the disunity in our nation. We lament this pandemic and everything that it's brought. God, take this virus away. We lament the loss of relationships, the loss of school this fall, the businesses that are suffering and unable to open, the families who are struggling, those who feel that they have no hope inside. God, we lament those who have a willingness to or struggle to walk with you. We lament those who are walking away from you. We lament the racism in this nation, the struggles in marriages. We lament those who are struggling with addiction and sickness. We ask that you bring healing in these situations, God. We lament the unease of not knowing what's next or what the future holds. We pray for peace. We lament the pain and the chronic pain and the illness that some among us are dealing with, and doctors they can't even get into. We lament our inability to talk back and forth with one another, God, and we pray for ears to listen and hear. We lament the political divide that breaks fellowship. For the people who don't feel their lives matter, God, we lament people who are struggling with a loss of community. God, we pray for those who are feeling like their prayers have not been answered, that they look at those who are wrestling with cancer and they can't understand why that's happening to good people. We lament those who are struggling with loneliness. We wonder, God, why has so much life been taken away in this short time? God, as people ask, how do I move forward and what is my purpose and where is my joy and how do we turn these things around, God, we hear in all of our hearts pain and struggle and just the question, why? God, and we just lay this at your feet. God, we lament those who are struggling with mental health issues, anxiety and depression. For those who are feeling so alone. God, and we take all these things that our people here at Ashworth have shared with us today. And we lay these laments at your feet, God. And now we wait silently. God, we are going to wait for you to speak to us now.
As we have voiced our laments to God, we do so now by leaving them at the foot of the cross. And we are reminded that even in our pain and our suffering, we are not people without hope. Right before Jesus was arrested and crucified, he spent time praying for his disciples. He told them what was to come. And in John 16, 33, we read, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The hope we have doesn't always look or feel like hope. In fact, it's often painful, and sometimes it even looks like defeat. But through his death on the cross, Jesus defeated sin and death. And through the sorrow and the lament of that Good Friday, we find victory. For without the cross, there is no resurrection. Jesus gave us a picture of his death to remind us that our sorrow and our pain, it's not the end. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We have four communion stations in the room. I'm going to encourage you, stay socially distant. One at a time can approach the stations. The stations are two cups The bread is in the bottom cup. The juice is on the top. So just grab one of the pairs of cups and take it back to your seat with you. And we will observe communion together. If you're watching online, gather those elements now. We'll be observing communion in just a moment.